This is a Fox News alert. Supreme Court limits federal judges' power over presidents. I'm Chris Foster. President Trump calls it a big win and holds a press conference at the White House in about a half hour. The court, in a 6-3 opinion, says lower court judges went too far with nationwide injunctions blocking President Trump's order ending birthright citizenship. There's nothing in the ruling about the legality of birthright citizenship itself, but it allows the order to go into effect in some parts of the country in 30 days, allowing time for other challenges.
It's written by Justice Barrett, and essentially what she says some say that the universal injunctions give the judiciary a powerful tool to check the executive branch, but she says federal courts do not exercise general oversight of the executive branch. They resolve cases and controversies consistent with the authority Congress has given to them. When a court concludes the executive branch has acted unlawfully, the answer is not for the court to exceed its power. They are limiting these injunctions.
Fox Chief Legal Correspondent Shannon Bream. Members of the House get a classified briefing this morning on Iran and U.S. airstrikes on nuclear facilities there as Iran's supreme leader considers his path going forward. Fox's Steve Harrigan in Qatar.
Well, there's been a lot of discussion about battle damage assessments. Now there's increasing look at the political damage that the supreme leader of Iran may have suffered. After 10 days in a bunker, he emerged looking haggard in every bit of his 86 years. It's not clear how the nation will react to being humiliated on the battlefield. The Ayatollah launched 14 missiles at a U.S. base here and claimed victory, but it's not clear that's going to be enough to satisfy his critics, both within office and also on the streets of Iran. There have been 4 popular uprisings in the past 15 years. So far, the regime has been strong enough to put them down. In Qatar, Steve Harrigan, Fox News.
Canadian diplomats are demanding information about the death of a Canadian citizen in immigration custody. Johnna Noviello was 49 in the U.S. since childhood, being processed for deportation because of a drug charge conviction. America's listening to Fox News.
Let's see, if something costs less, a lot less, but people are actually happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard joining MediShare can save you or your family up to $500 a month, and that's huge, but it's also true. People are just happier with it. They love being part of something that reflects and promotes their values and what they believe in. MediShare works, too. It's been around for 30 years now, and members have shared more than $7 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network, so yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care, whether you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan that you're happy with. Here you go. You can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes, a very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. It's 866-89-BIBLE. That's 866-89-BIBLE, 866-89-BIBLE.
Number 180899 with Mortgage One. When it comes to the biggest financial decisions of your life, you deserve expert guidance. At Mortgage One, we know a home loan is more than just numbers. It's part of your financial future. Our team's highly qualified professionals provide a complete mortgage analysis. We'll help you explore the available programs and options to fit your needs in today's marketplace. The Mortgage One team will work to blend your mortgage needs and compare cash to close and payment options with various programs in today's marketplace, offering competitive interest rates to meet your needs. Again, Mortgage One, an equal housing lender, NMLS number 898812. Give us a call today at 928-483-LOAN, which is 928-483-5626.
Good morning and happy Friday from the News 11 Information Desk. I'm Scott Gross. Marine Corps Air Station Yuma is included to be one of 2 new military zones along the southern border, according to 3 U.S. officials. Now, the zones are called National Defense Areas and are considered extensions of military installations. Now, they'll allow troops to temporarily detain migrants there before handing them off to law enforcement. And for households facing financial hardships, especially with electric bills during the summer, local nonprofits are offering some assistance. The event prioritizes vulnerable residents, including seniors, single-parent families struggling to keep up with their APS bill, and those with disconnection notices. Now it's being held at Campesinos St. Frantis in Somerton and offers help of up to $1,000. The event is today from 9 this morning to 4:30 in the afternoon, and assistance is available on a first-come, first-served basis. I'm Scott Gross.
Forecast for tonight, clear, pleasant, 74 the overnight low, 10 to 15 mile per hour winds. And for the weekend, we'll start with 107 and sunny tomorrow, 79 tomorrow night. Saturday, 109 with sunshine. Sunday, sunny and 111.
Investment advisory services offered through CWM, LLC, and SEC Registered Investment Advisor. Welcome to Money Talk with Yuma Investment Group's Tom Rush, founder, wealth advisor, and George Davis Sr. Wealth Advisor.
Hey, good morning, Yuma. Money Talk, AM 560 KBLU. Tom Rush, Derek Eggeberg, Russ Clark, and Lexi studio. I mean, Lexi seems to talk more than anybody around.
She doesn't have a microphone, though.
That's a good thing, although she kind of sounds like you do.
Yeah, barking.
So, good morning, Tom. How's it going?
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
Good. Can't complain yet. Anybody yelled at you yet today?
No.
It's early.
Not yet.
Well, Russ was talking about road rage in the last segment, so I just didn't know if anybody yelled at you on your way here.
No, I'm a very conservative driver. Okay.
You're not a road rage guy?
My wife says I'm a terrible driver.
Oh. What does she know?
Is that when you're driving or in the passenger seat?
You know, when we go on trips, she drives. She,
oh, really?
She says,
that's smart.
Which I kind of like because I get to nap or do whatever.
Oh, geez.
But,
wow.
So I play that to my advantage. But she doesn't like me driving. So.
Family
so maybe he's an aggressive driver and he just doesn't want to admit it.
I think I brake too much. Like I'll pull up to someone and then brake and not hit them. But
so you're like, an aggressive breaker. That's what he is.
Well, you like your passenger screaming, huh?
I don't know. It's just
great.
You know, that's how I was raised driving out in Dayton. That was how it was done. But anyways, hey, so the big thing right now is, you know, the market's back with after the tariff scare and all that. I know we're in the middle of, you know, still probably two wars or whatever. You know, and I think a lot of this has to do, and the big talk now is the Fed, right? Mm-hmm. Trump keeps telling the Fed to lower rates, and he's holding off. We see the, by the end of the year, is what people are saying that are pretty smart. They think that could be two rate cuts. And one probably more on the horizon than waiting for the next talk, too. So you being in the world of interest rates and mortgages and all that, what's your take on that?
I agree. I think you're going to see 25, if not 50 basis point cut before the end of the year. I think it's probably 25 and 25. But it's interesting because I just saw an article yesterday on, and I don't want to say the news network, but it's a left-leaning news network, that talked about, if you're going to refinance, don't refinance yet because the Fed's going to cut rates. Hey, dum-dums, the Fed doesn't control mortgage rates. The Fed controls you on the capital side, the ability for corporate America to borrow money cheaper. And if the Fed makes you borrowing money cheaper to run business operations, doesn't that mean corporate America and businesses are going to do better? It does. And if corporate America does better and they get to borrow cheaper, the stock market goes up, which actually hurts us.
Which is happening right now.
Which is happening. I mean, right now we're down. And when I say down, it's the wrong way. We're down 23 basis points today. That's a quarter point in cost. So let's spell that out. For a $100,000 loan to keep the same rate as yesterday, that's $230 more expensive.
Yeah.
That's literally to the second where the market is. Are you up or down on the stock side?
Well, they think the market is already pricing in these two cuts. So that's, you know, the market moves ahead of itself.
Yeah.
I mean, if they think it's going to happen, it's going to get priced in today. So if it doesn't happen, you probably
then you
some kind of pullback. But now we already think it's priced into the market, and we think it's 225-25 probably by the end of the year.
So same numbers.
So kind of same page. Now, what I haven't paid attention to the mortgage rate. So what is a 30-year right now?
You know, really good credit. Let's talk really good credit. 20% down. You're in the low sixes, and you might even, you know, I've got a couple guys that are paying some points and buying it down with a high five. But, you know, just conservatively, let's talk low to mid sixes most people.
And what's considered good credit? Anything above what? Like to get that rate, or roughly?
760 and above.
Okay.
You know, now if you're going to go a Govy loan, and again, these are generalizations, but, you know, you could have a 620 credit score and go FHA, VA, and you're in the low sixes roughly.
Yeah.
And again, less money down, but those are the Govy loans, et cetera. So, again, the market's not bad. However, we're going the wrong direction because the stock market is also priced in. The economy is going to do well, and the whole tariff thing going away and the way that people are starting to spend money,
bring things back in the country. So I'm actually expecting mortgage rates to continue going up for the rest of the year. That's not a great thing for these, again, left-leaning media outlets that are saying, oh, don't refinance yet. Wait for the Fed to lower rates. I'm like, oh, my gosh, you just put a loaded gun to somebody's head and said, here, let's just wait. Why do you put things out that are not true? I wish I could talk to that anchor.
Well, so some of the things, if you look at the big picture of the economy, Trump's definitely causing countries to come back to the States, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's obvious. That usually takes a while because you can't just build a plant tomorrow and start cranking it. So it's going to take a time to do that. So that's one big good thing for the United States, and as far as keeping jobs and keeping the economy strong, and probably causing more inflation, really, because if it's stronger, inflation usually follows.
Well, then we shouldn't do it.
The second thing that I think hasn't caught up yet, which will, is oil. And you know, the Trump, they said all in, drill, baby, drill. And that doesn't happen overnight either. I mean, it does if you have maybe some pumps that are already going. But the reality is that talking about drilling in new areas. Mm-hmm. So I think that's going to catch up. And I have no idea the timeline of putting that in. But I'm thinking, 9 months to 2 years or whatever. So I think that's going to be a big oil shock that's going to really help the economy too. And I actually got some numbers on oil, on exports and imports. But then the third thing I think is going to happen is Trump's leaning on NATO to step it up and pay more money for weapons, right?
Yeah, he's talking like 5%.
And who has the best weapons in the world?
We do.
Yeah. So they want to. I mean, they go from, I don't even know the numbers, but I think 2% up to 4 or 5. I mean, any country, that's a whole budget for the country.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of money thrown at this area, and I think the United States is going to reap most of that.
Well, Canada just went with Europe on their airplane, the new airplane. They're going with the European model.
Yeah, but that's more commercial, right?
No,
I'm talking about fighter jets and all that.
I thought it was fighter jets.
Oh, because
I'll double check that.
I don't think. I mean, I think really a lot of this stuff being built at a high level is from us.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it's.
Well, if you go back to what you're talking about with NATO, I mean, Canada was paying in the least of all of the NATO allies. And what Trump started in his previous administration then started pushing this is getting everybody up to that 2%. I think at one point there was like 23 countries not paying in the minimum 2%. And I think it was it last week the announcement just came out that said only 6 countries are not up to the minimum, the 2% that they all agreed to. Now, would be super interesting to see if you could get it to 5 where we stopped funding 25% of that.
Yeah. So I just mentioned 3 themes that are going to, I think, bring the economy stronger. The fourth theme, which is going to probably blow away all these other themes, is AI, artificial intelligence. So you put those 4 things together, as long as the world doesn't get crazy and blow up, I think you're going to see some pretty dang good numbers in the next 2 to 4 years.
Well, and what you just said is people need to embrace that. Whether, you like AI, you don't like AI, it's no different than the automations. Let's say, auto industry and manufacturing, everybody got really concerned that you're going to turn the plants into robotics and you're going to take the jobs out. Well, the jobs shift to different styles of jobs. But there's what you're saying is this whole industry. I hope all 3 of my boys want to learn AI, some way to incorporate that into their career of choice, because that's where the jobs are going to go. And the people that know how to do that, I mean, you see some of these 18-year-olds that are running AI companies now.
Yeah, it's crazy. But, you look at since, and I got some oil numbers, but since 2025 or 2005, the U.S. was producing about 5 million barrels of oil a day, mm-hmm. and importing about 13 million. So definitely not even. 2025, United States is producing from 5 million to 13.5 million. Mm-hmm. So almost triple. And then the export of oil is down to 4 million.
Import?
Oh, import. It's the opposite. It went down 2/3. So this oil thing is changing. I mean, it is changing as far as United States getting more involved in it.
And we have the ability to be self-sufficient. And that's, again, whether it could be a little cheaper, a little bit more expensive. It doesn't matter. That pendulum swings back and forth. But we could be, and we were for a brief period, energy independent. We could literally control our own destiny and drill. I mean, they've found the largest oil reserves on the planet in the U.S. now, have they not?
Is that Alaska, or where are you talking about?
No, that was an article probably four months
the basin
ago.
Basin in Texas, or where?
It was up in the Dakotas.
Oh, Dakotas, okay.
So, again, if you look at the largest oil reserves on the planet that you could now get to, and you're making it cost-effective to process it, and you're doing that all within the United States, why do we need the cheap oil imported? And, again, you look at – you talked about pricing things into the market – we dropped bombs in Iran, good, bad, indifferent. And the very next day, what did oil prices do?
Went up to about 75 a barrel.
Very minimal, though, right?
Very minimal. And then the day after that, they dropped 8%.
Yeah, it was down to 65 again.
Okay. Yeah. So did the market just price in, okay, that's over, and they're clearly
it's
not
an emotional thing.
Yeah.
Well, thinking that it's going to cause him to cut off exporting oil, but it
and
didn't.
Clearly they can't because that's their only source of revenue.
So, you know, oil makes the world go around, and one area that the United States is number one in out of every country is natural gas, but they really haven't figured out how to take full potential of that, because natural gas usually stays local, goes to Canada, maybe to Mexico, but with the technology to ship it overseas and condense it into a hard substance, natural gas, you watch, that's going to also become a player.
Oh, it already is.
Especially if oil stays high, because they can switch to gas to, you know, complement it.
Yeah.
But it is, but it's not. If you look at how much natural gas is going around the world compared to oil, it's not as much. I mean, I think they can get some upside with technology and such.
Well, and there is a density difference in the energy density in that substance. So you look at, you know, Russ, let's talk a diesel pickup truck versus one plumb for natural gas.
Yeah.
Do you see a difference?
Yeah. Yeah.
So let me talk about another theme, and this is all pop up in my head, so I don't have this planned out. So it's proven that our infrastructure for electricity is not enough for AI, for the servers.
No,
and all that.
Say it isn't so.
Let alone electric cars. Yeah.
Yeah. So what's happening is if they replace the infrastructure the way it is now, it's a long process. It's not going to happen quick enough. So the big thing, and I don't know if you guys have been watching anything to do with nuclear power stocks, but the big thing is they think nuclear power is going to be the answer, because you can get those things thrown up pretty quick. And there's technology now, like, let's just say hypothetically, Yuma uses X amount of electricity. They can put a couple small ones just for Yuma, and they would literally...
They're not legal yet here in the United States. They use them in Europe, I understand.
Well, the ones who perfected it has X been China. China has,
Then why they keep building coal plants? They're building coal plants like every day.
But China actually has, from what I read, they have like a big shipping container almost, probably bigger than a shipping container, like a boat shipping container. And basically two or threes can fund the whole city, or even one maybe.
Well,
but it's moving that way. And the stock market's always ahead of itself. So a lot of these nuclear stocks have gone up 50-100% in the last 6 months.
But to build a big nuclear plant would take a decade. I mean, that's huge.
But I think that's doing it the old way. I think the new way,
not
with
the new
technology,
what you're talking about, the portable,
they're gonna get them up in 2 years or something. I don't know. Just some stuff I've been reading, and I don't know. I'm not an expert. But anyways, that's going to be another big thing, is getting our infrastructure going. And then also with AI, there's not enough data centers. I mean, so that's another push. And as you guys go to Phoenix,
is huge electrical requirements.
Yeah, and you go to Phoenix and you see all these buildings all over the place, like buildings that go a block. I'm sure you've seen them. A lot of that stuff is, I think, geared towards AI and servers and that. So that's like five or six big themes coming down as far as the economy, I think.
And what you're saying, though, is you got to look long term. It isn't an emotional change that's going to happen today. This is something that's going to take 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years.
Now to 10 years
plus. And so you to your kids, hey, guys, this is what you're going to invest in, and here's what is going to happen over the next decade. You know, just take the long view, not this emotional jump. How many of your customers do you have to talk off the ledge because they want to make the emotional jump of, oh, my gosh, bombs are dropped in Iran, sell everything, the market's going to crash, or, oh, my gosh, this is going to be the greatest thing since sliced bread. Sell everything and dump it into this.
Well, I've been working with my clients for quite a while, and I know I got new clients, but I kind of have them, because I've lived through 94, 2000, 08, and all the small ones in the middle, 22. So I don't know. I got don't get emotional, and And it's but how many happens.
Call you and get emotional?
Not that, I mean, not as much as you would think, because I talk about this stuff before it happens. So I say, hey, if this thing drops 20-30%, here's what we're going to do and why. And you start not brainwashing them, but to some degree, you start laying out what's going to happen. So when it does happen, the reaction is, okay, do it, because we talked about it. Right.
Which is the good advice, and that's what you should be doing, because it plans for opportunity rather than, oh my gosh, let's just not
proactive plan. And reactive. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So let's talk about the housing market, because I know you and I haven't teamed up here in a minute, and I haven't paid a lot of attention. Housing market in Yuma still okay?
Very, very strong. Again, builders are building as fast as they can. They've got contracts coming in.
Better than 6 months ago? About the same?
About the same.
Okay.
You know, there's new subdivisions coming online. There's still lots of demand. There's still lots of people moving into Arizona, which, again, I can't blame them. So many of these people that I see, and anecdotally, it's probably one a day that I personally see, and that's just little old Derek and little old Yuma, but I see one person that I qualify a day that is coming from California that gets to keep their bougie California wage job and telecommute, which means they're bringing their California wages here and going to work from here. So it's not just the Yuma area residents that are buying homes and moving up or shifting sideways, but you have people moving into the area. Same thing with YRMC on Vita, I guess now. You know, you're still recruiting doctors and physicians into Yuma, and they're buying stuff. So it's all gamuts. It's the small stuff. It's the expensive stuff and everything in between.
Yeah, and I know a couple bigger contractors in town, and they don't give you the details because they sign in non-disclosures. But they're saying in the next 5 years, there's some commercial projects, and we already see Amazon coming here, but that's some pretty big commercial projects coming down the pipeline that Yuma has never seen before. And what does that mean? I don't know, but they wouldn't give me more detail.
Right.
So I think you're going to find more of that. What about on break before we got started, you mentioned there's some pockets around the United States where housing has came to a standstill. Right?
Well, and that's the thing where, you know, you see some of these news articles, oh my gosh, watch for housing. No, it's not a nationwide thing. It's a local thing. And so just pay attention to what's going on. So if you drove around neighborhoods, remember in 07, 08, you would drive a neighborhood and every other house on the block had a for sale sign in front of it. Remember that?
Yeah.
Okay, do you see that? I'm asking you, gentlemen, when you're driving around, do you see a plethora of for sale signs?
Nope.
No. But if you look at certain areas, and I was just looking at a couple over in Florida, kind of on the,
Russ is doing a little hygiene right now. I like it.
I had a fingernail bother me. You're not supposed to say that on air, though. I'm off camera.
As long as he's cutting his fingernails, not his toenails, we're good, okay?
That's coming.
But on the western side of Florida, in and around the Sarasota area, there's whole neighborhoods of luxury homes that I would identify as a luxury second home. It's not – you're not a major employee somewhere living there and then driving an hour and a half into work. Yeah. This is a second home area, but it's literally whole neighborhoods of $1.5 million homes.
Well, what's been the hottest market in the last 3 years has been Florida.
Florida's one of them.
So you think they kind of got ahead of themselves? They must have, right?
I think it's going to come back. I mean, look at the new mayor in New York.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to send it back to Florida.
But I've been to Sarasota before at a conference, and that's like the retirement living of New York.
Well, and that's,
I mean, there's some money there. You can see the houses.
Absolutely. But what's interesting is you look at the dirt that they're building these on, and I have to assume it's a residential lot. The lots can't be but 30, 40, 50 grand. I mean, it's inexpensive dirt. And at the same time, if it's $1.5 million home, that means you're paying $1.5 million for cost. So it's interesting that just look at pockets. And if you see stagnant working or home sitting vacant, okay, you might have a local issue, but here in Yuma, we don't have a local issue.
No.
So this is, we're going to take a break. This is Money Talk, AM560 KBLU.
At Yuma and Imperial Valley Wealth Management, we've been proudly serving the Yuma community since 2001. Your financial future deserves the personalized care and expertise that only a local, trusted advisor can provide. From retirement planning to wealth management, we're here to help you reach your goals with confidence. Investment Advisor Services, offered through CWM LLC and SEC Registered Investment Advisor.
This is Derek Eggerberg, NMLS number 180899 with Mortgage One. When it comes to the biggest financial decisions of your life, you deserve expert guidance. At Mortgage One, we know a home loan is more than just numbers. It's part of your financial future. Our team's highly qualified professionals provide a complete mortgage analysis. We'll help you explore the available programs and options to fit your needs in today's marketplace. The Mortgage One team will work to blend your mortgage needs and compare cash to close and payment options with various programs in today's marketplace, offering competitive interest rates to meet your needs. Again, Mortgage One, an equal housing lender, NMLS number 898812. Give us a call today at 928-483-LOAN, which is 928-483-5626. This is Derek Eggerberg, NMLS number 180899 with Mortgage One. When it comes to the biggest financial decisions of your life, you deserve expert guidance. At Mortgage One, we know a home loan is more than just numbers. It's part of your financial future. Our team's highly qualified professionals provide a complete mortgage analysis. We'll help you explore the available programs and options to fit your needs in today's marketplace. The Mortgage One team will work to blend your mortgage needs and compare cash to close and payment options with various programs in today's marketplace, offering competitive interest rates to meet your needs. Again, Mortgage One, an equal housing lender, NMLS number 898812. Give us a call today at 928-483-LOAN, which is 928-483-5626.
At Yuma and Imperial Valley Wealth Management, we believe that knowledge is power. Since 2001, we've empowered the Yuma community with the financial insights and the strategies needed to achieve your dreams. Whether you're planning for retirement or managing your wealth, our team is here to guide you every step of the way. Investment advisor services offered through CWM, LLC, and SEC Registered Investment Advisor.
Hey, Yuma, this is Money Talk, 5-6 a.m. We got Derek Eggerberg here, and we got myself, Tom Rush. And we actually, in the last 12 months, have new names. So you want to, Yuma and Imperial Valley Wealth Management is our new name.
Very nice.
And you guys is
Mortgage One.
Mortgage One, okay. Yep. Yeah, I knew there was a one in there somewhere. So anyways, the big thing coming down the pipe right now is this called the Big Beautiful Bill. Mm-hmm. Which has been titled by Trump, and he's saying by July 4th, you know, they're trying to get it approved, and it is looking, in my opinion, a little bit more favorable because a couple more people have kind of fell in line, and he said, well, it might be a little later than July 4th. There's really not a deadline, but that's a big deal coming out, and there's some things, if that gets passed, which I think are going to, you know, good and bad things, but the main thing that thing is going to do is extend all the tax cuts that this, that Trump made in his first term, and not only extend it, most of it's going to be permanent. So the only way to change it is to get the Congress to vote it back in, which could happen, right? Mm-hmm. But it's harder to do when you have to vote it back in.
Yeah.
So I would say the number one thing that's going to do is keep the taxes down, which will, you know, keep money flowing quicker.
Okay.
That's a big plus. There's also something they called SALT deductions, which means you get to deduct your state tax if you have high state tax. And they want to move that from $10,000 up to $40,000, so triple it.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of these states that have big taxes, like California, New York, and I don't know if Chicago does, but it's going to be more to their advantage in a state with less tax.
Mm-hmm.
But that's going to be a big deal. They want to move the estate tax up to $15 million per person, which doesn't affect, you know, less than 1% of 1%.
Right.
But that's going up a little bit from close to $13,000. The interesting thing they want to do, and I actually think this could be a good idea. When I first read it, I kind of thought it was maybe a socialist program, which I didn't really like. But they want to come up. So as you guys know, the population boom around the world in most places is not enough kids, you know, being born. Mm-hmm. And they think that's going to have a big effect on the workforce and all that. And I think in the United States, they said we need to average 2.7 kids per household. And it was like 2.2, mm-hmm. but it's even gone even higher. Mm-hmm. So in order to get people incentive to do that, they want to come up with this account for a kid once they get born. And basically, the government would throw in the first $1,000, and this account can't be touched till they're 18 and above. But it will basically grow with no tax, and if you use it in the right manner on the way out, there's it's capital gain tax, so not income tax, capital gains, but there's no dividends, no income tax along the way because an 18-year a newborn has 18 plus years, but then the parents can also put in an amount up to I don't know if it's $2,500 or maybe $5,000 is the most the parent can add, and then basically it's another mechanism to get. People thinking about putting money away.
So the government puts in $1,000 and the parent can put in $5,000. So you got $6,000
per year.
Per year.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would only question where is it going to be invested? Because I don't like the fact that the way the government invests Social Security, I'd rather invest my own money. So if you're telling me that I'm going to put that money in and it's got to be in some safe, secure, minimally earning bond that
I think they're going to go two ways.
Russ is rolling.
They're going to go two ways. I think, or maybe there could be three ways. One way is to put it in treasuries, which wouldn't make any sense because at 18, that's too conservative. So I'd rule that out. The other one would be to let it go to the private sector. Like we can open up a Roth IRA, any financial company, so they can just call it X account and open it up. And then they get to decide. Then the last way would be there's been talk even on 401k stuff that they want to do like the thrift savings, six funds or whatever from the federal government, C fund, S fund, and all that. So it doesn't go into detail on how it's going to happen, but I think if knowing how it works, I think people are going to have choices. So it's probably going to go to the private side.
Yeah. They don't do that now. It all has to go. Law goes into treasury type stuff.
Good in comment. I don't understand the practice. I mean, what's the county in Texas that chose to exclude themselves from Social Security and do their own private fund?
I heard about it, but you can't do that anymore.
Well, no.
They're probably grandfathered in.
Well, sure they are. But the individuals in that county have something like three times the amount of money out as Social Security based on how it's been managed.
I'm pretty sure this plan's not going to be managed that way.
Right.
I mean, it's going to be, I don't think it's going to be, because Social Security.
So for
Galveston County, Texas.
See? Well, and the railroad unions did that as well. Railroad employees, the unions did not participate in Social Security. They have their own pension and retirement system, and they do significantly better than Social Security.
Yeah.
So I just don't like the fact that I might trust them to manage the rest of my money. But, Tom, let me ask you a question. For $1,000 a year for the next 18 years, do you want to have another kid?
Well, it's not even a thousand. It's not even
no.
It's not even $1,000 a year. It's a one-time $1,000.
Well, that's what I just asked you, and you said no. It's per year.
No. It's $1,000 one time, and then the parents can fund. Every year.
So the same thing is like you're going to contribute to a 529 or anything else. So, Tom, do you want to have another kid for a grand?
Yeah.
It sounds good, Tom.
I can't have any more kids. Because of my age and my wife's age, so
but
not
could,
the right
you
person.
You can help
ask.
Repopulate the globe. Yeah. Come on, Tom.
You can adopt a baby.
Hey, but you know what it does? You know what it allows people to do is it allows them to open the door to think about putting money away. So for me, that alone's good because until you do it one time, I mean, how many times have you said, "Well, I might do this," mm-hmm. but if you don't do it one time, you're going to do it two times. So it could be positive. I could think of worse things. I mean, at least that fund's going to go to the kid.
Sure.
Where if the government tried to do a campaign to say have more kids, and who knows where that money goes? You know what I mean?
At least it goes to the child tax credits and tax breaks.
Oh.
Just Russ, you were talking about something just before we jumped back on the air, and we said real estate is local, and you got to look at local items. Yeah. And you referenced something.
Well, my fact checker reminded me of it, but the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area, they're having a stall right now on housing. Because employees are waiting to see what the courts are going to say about their ability to maintain their jobs in government agencies.
And not only a stall in housing, but do you remember, like, right when those layoffs were announced, I pulled up that screenshot of all the multimillion-dollar homes on Zillow that popped up within a 48-hour window, and it was a tenfold increase in the number of homes on the market. Why?
It's not terribly unusual for that area when regimes change. Presidents change from Democrat to Republican.
You know what's going to add to that, which you didn't bring up, is they made it clear that all these federal agencies are around D.C. They're talking about relocating them to the Midwest, and that's going to cause a lot of people.
And you look at the top 10 richest counties in the country. I think seven of them are around, six or seven of them are right around D.C., Maryland. Yeah, that's where the money is, baby.
Well,
that's
it. What's the old adage? Stay closest to the money.
I guess.
But again, all of these things, what you're talking about is things change and you just be aware of it. So mortgage rates go up or down. The stock market goes up or down. Housing has some areas grow faster than others. You know, do you gentlemen see the housing industry changing for the worse here in Yuma?
Someday. I mean, it's not going to be great forever. I mean, with pockets, right?
Okay. Yeah. So someday, but do you see it worse right now?
No, without a doubt, no.
And you talk about, you know, we referenced Amazon putting the facility here. You've got growth coming into Yuma because things are affordable. The working population is plentiful. And you've got opportunities here because there are ley lines of distribution, if you will, between rail and freeway systems. Now, certain areas of the country, maybe not so much, like we were talking about the housing in that second home luxury market in the Florida area. It'll be interesting to see what happens with those whole neighborhoods that are just sitting vacant. And you know what? The people that are building it, they're publicly traded builders. Do they have enough money to last 6 months to a year and then sell them all in 6 months to a year when
Let me make a prediction. If New York gets a communist governor in play, mayor, right? Communist mayor. Watch how quick people start. They've already been fleeing New York, but it's going to get worse. So those pockets, right? Everything's dealing with pockets. Even California, every time you read stuff, so-and-so's moving out. Another big Oracle moved out. Now that's a huge company. And then you see the movie stars that are moving out, going, you know, to Texas or going up to Oregon or somewhere. So, yeah, that was a big exodus.
Well, did you see the amount of the budget that is now being spent on housing and medical for illegal immigrants in California?
I've heard about it, but I don't know the number.
You look at the amount, right? the percentage of the budget that is going there, and you're seeing this exodus of tax base. It's not going to be pretty for what California's got to go through. I don't know how to fix it.
I don't think they care.
And isn't that interesting?
But you know what, though? You here's what's going to happen with California, and you can already see the cracks coming in. They're going to basically start getting people like, I know Mel Gibson screaming loud, and you know,
people
listen to him, right? So that it's going to swing back the other way. Fast forward 10 years from now, and you'd be amazed at who gets into office. Like the DA, they just got the DA out of LA.
Gaston. Yeah.
And he just said, hey, I'm throwing people in jail and the homeless are going away. So usually it swings back the other way unless the people just like that lifestyle, and maybe some of them.
I hope you're right, but right now, Newsom still has a lot of control.
Yeah. Yep. So I don't know. I guess you're probably what's good for or strong economy in Yuma is pretty much your bread and butter, right? Because what percentage of your loans go outside of Yuma?
My percentage, maybe 5%.
Yeah. So
I mean, what's the old saying? You know, there's enough real estate within a 2 mile radius of where you live to make you a multimillionaire if you just play the game long enough. The customers that we want to help are Yuma residents. It's people just like you and me. I mean, what was your background? What was your first job?
Hoeing cotton.
Okay. You were out hoeing cotton. I was a, you know, pimple faced pizza guy. Russ, what was your first job? Can you remember that far back?
I was delivering TV guides door to door.
You know, and
at
so
12 years old.
Wow. TV guides.
Parents made me work. TV. Yeah, there was such a thing.
I think I was about 10 when you'd hoe cotton, and the cotton out in Dayton area was the rows were probably seemed like a quarter of a mile. I mean, they you had to walk a long way to get to one side, and then the water was always on the other
on
side.
The opposite.
So you literally had to, like, you know, try to get back to the water, and that was in the summertime.
But back to that, you know, our customers, like yours, it's Yuma residents that you want to help and see succeed and grow slowly over time. And you know what's cool is having done this now for how long you've been in your business?
Coming up over 30 years now.
Yeah. So, you know, just at 25 on my side here, you're starting to see not only is it people who have bought their third or fourth home with you and followed the plan, but now their kids are coming in, buying their first home, and you're starting to generationally change the trajectory. So, you know, again, it's Yuma has such a dynamic population that you can do really, really well for if you just give people good advice. And I think that's probably why half your clients don't jump out of a five-story building, because you're already prepping them.
Yuma
for the
doesn't have a five-story. No, yes, I'm kidding.
Where do you get good advice?
It's a two-story building.
Well, I think over at, what's your new company name?
Yuma and Imperial Valley Wealth Management.
Hey, you guys were talking about California. And,
yeah.
Just a fact, California, my fact checker, Jeremy, California's Medi-Cal expansion now covers undocumented adults, costing the state approximately $8.4 billion for 24-25, with a projected near $7.4 billion for 25-26. Total spending on the undocumented now consumes 15% of the California state budget.
Isn't that amazing?
15%
on people who, A...
That's going to add up to money.
15% on people who haven't paid in, aren't supposed to get anything,
yeah.
And somebody thinks that it's okay just to say, and look, from a humanistic, heartfelt perspective, I get it. But at the same time, we have veterans on the library lawn and yeah. people who have paid into the system that need help, and you can give that much money?
But here's how they're going to fix it. They're going to invite more illegals into the state and make it up in volume.
Oh, I like that. So that's the old... is that the Kmart blue light special? You turn the light on, flashy, flashy, and you get a sale?
I don't know. They're going to keep adding to it. They're not backing down.
Yeah.
They're just going to keep going.
But if I ran my budget, or Russ, you ran yours, or Tom, you ran yours like that, and just said, you know what, I'm going to spend 15% on stuff yeah. that I've never had the revenue for, I don't have the money in the bank for, and I need to figure it out. Just keep going.
Well, the federal government's doing that right
just
now.
Just keep going.
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to feed my dog then. It would be bad.
You know, for as thin as Lexi is, I'm not sure you've been feeding her. I think,
well, I have
you know,
to keep her lightweight so I can carry her.
Everybody who stops by Russ's place, please bring some dog food, because I just don't think
don't,
Russ is feeding
her. Please don't.
But again, you go back to this, and Tom, what I like is you're looking forward and looking at what could happen out of things that haven't come to pass just yet if this bill passes. What are the opportunities? You mentioned AI on the front side. How is AI going to change, you know, corporate America? What's it going to do? Same thing in our industry.
Well, you know, interesting. I mean, reading different things, but they say that artificial intelligence, AI, is going to have a bigger effect on people than the internet did.
Sure.
And the internet, as you guys all know, was changed the game, right?
Well,
took a while, but it changed the game. So I don't know what, I mean, they don't tell you any more than that, but it's going to be big.
Well, look at the industries that are going to change. And when you say, even mine, here's the divide that is happening in the mortgage industry. There's going to be huge juggernaut companies that are all tech-based, that are going to be, if you're an A-paper borrower, and look, every lender has access to certain tools. It's just whether they know how to use them. Tom, do you assume you have good credit?
Like right now?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. If you were going to go buy a new home, could you put 20% down?
Sure. I don't know the price of the home, but let's assume so, yeah.
Can I document?
But let me ask you this.
Whoa, hold on. There's a point with this. Can I document your income through traditional means, through tax returns and 1099s and W-2s?
Paper, yeah.
Cool. Those three things are there. And if you were buying a home in a general area that is kind of bread and butter, plain vanilla, that statistically all of the appraisal data is uploaded to Fannie Freddie, I could probably do your loan with no appraisal, not really anything other than automated income documentation, and it's literally done. That's where half of these lenders are going to go, is they're only going to deal with the Tom Rushes who you can do this, and then there's going to be the small relational lenders that still have to deal with people who are seasonal employees, some cash-based, you've got some issues in the credit and stuff.
But don't you think like AI is going to allow you to do just more volume?
That's what's happening is the companies, the big juggernauts are building the ones that you make your payments to. So let's say you do a loan and then it's sold four different times and it ends up with brand X servicing company. They're building out their platforms that the servicing engine, you really will never talk to a person. You know how AI now sounds like a person?
Yeah.
You're going to have, hi, I'd like to, you know, question about refinancing my loan. I got this mailer in the mail. Okay, press number one for and
okay,
all
sounds,
of a sudden
sounds like an AI person.
But all of a sudden, you're literally doing a refinance without doing anything or a purchase without doing anything, and that's where half of our industry is going to go. Is they're building the structure to get rid of the entry level or entering data jobs, but But then you're going to have the companies that have to sit down and talk to people because they don't fit the mold. And so there's not going to be a middle ground anymore. And I think it's probably the same with you. How many of these online investment companies can you literally go in and pick certain things? You don't have to deal with somebody like yourself, and they're not going to necessarily get the advice, but you want to sit down with your customers and walk them through a 20-year plan, if you will.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot out there. I mean, yeah, there's a lot. It's just a matter. See, most people in our business, in my opinion, don't do what they should be doing because of the fear. And some people get to the fear of they don't even want to fill out an application because they might mess it up, you know. So, but the younger generation, you guys know, are more tech-friendly and more likely to get on the phone and open an account or do something, so it's changing. But you look at Robinhood, you know, that's an example of a stock, of a kind of brokerage company that also does crypto. I mean, it's gone from like $22 to maybe I think it's over 100 now in the last like 2 years or something, or year and a half. Yeah, so it's happening, and there will be a point where, but they really think AI is going to create new jobs that people don't even know is available out there. But it's also going to cause people like me and you to just have more clients. Mm-hmm. So you know, you're maxed out with X amount of loans in a month. At this point, I mean, there's a max. You can't do a million loans in a month.
Right.
But with AI, that might let you double it, you know, or then a couple of years, you triple it. Mm-hmm. So then, yeah, you might not be making the exact same margin or whatever they charge, but you start doing three times the amount of loans, then you're making more money than you are today.
Well, and you're already seeing exodus in our industry where mortgage lenders and real estate agents are getting out of the business because there isn't the volume that there used to be. And you just talked about, you know, the big fat companies that were running heavy margins are kind of going away. And so speaking of going away, I'm just now told we have to take another break and go away. So this is Money Talk, AM 560 KBLU.
At Yuma and Imperial Valley Wealth Management, we understand that retirement is a journey. Our team is dedicated to helping you retire with confidence, providing personalized strategies tailored to your unique needs. Whether you're just starting to plan or nearing retirement, we're here to ensure your financial future is secure. Investment advisor services offered through CWM, LLC, and SEC Registered Investment Advisor.
This is Derek Egeberg, NMLS number 180899 with Mortgage One. When it comes to the biggest financial decisions of your life, you deserve expert guidance. At Mortgage One, we know a home loan is more than just numbers. It's part of your financial future. Our team's highly qualified professionals provide a complete mortgage analysis. We'll help you explore the available programs and options to fit your needs in today's marketplace. The Mortgage One team will work to blend your mortgage needs and compare cash to close and payment options with various programs in today's marketplace. Place offering competitive interest rates to meet your needs. Again, Mortgage One, an equal housing lender, NMLS number 898812. Give us a call today at 928-483-LOAN, which is 928-483-5626.
Good morning, Yuma Money Talk, AM 560 KBLU. Derek Egeberg, Tom Rush, Russ Clark, all in studio 1 week before 4th of July. Got any good plans?
Less than a week, right?
No. It's Friday.
Friday.
Week.
Oh, it's Friday. Yeah. Okay.
Independence Day.
I thought it was Wednesday, but that's where I'm at. Yeah, we got some plans. Be around family and barbecue and watermelon, all the above.
And the flag raising at 7 o'clock.
That's what I was saying. Is, you know, I would love to see more people get out there. That's one of the easiest things to go to here in Yuma. It's in the morning. It's not going to interfere with somebody's fireworks and barbecues. But you've got, I'm assuming you had that pulled up, or did you just look at your phone haphazardly?
No, I have something else on the phone.
So Armed Forces Park down in Old Yuma. Flag retirement ceremony, flag raising ceremony on Independence Day. You've got the commanding officer of one of the two military installations that comes and speaks.
Yep.
You've got the honoring of the military personnel of the year as selected here in Yuma.
That's right.
You know, it's a great time.
Retiring the flag ceremony.
That's one of the things for me is if you've got kids, it's free. bring them out, 7 o'clock in the morning, and watch how to properly retire a United States of America flag honorably and, you know, the correct way.
Yeah, you don't make a pair of shorts out.
Nope.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the most humbling and emotional things I've ever seen is when you see Colonel Rob Philby with his speech that goes along with the flag retirement ceremony. When you see a 30-year veteran who still gets emotional going through that process, that's the way it's supposed to be. So Friday morning, Armed Forces Park, Independence Day, bring the family out, and it's an hour and a half.
And that's the one downtown, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, by the railroad track?
Yep. Coolest thing, you see, you know, the UP, Union Pacific, typically puts a couple of engines right behind with their big flags on it, kind of framing it. And very easy event to get to. It's free. You just show up. You watch, you get to learn a little bit, and then you go home and have ice cream and hot dogs.
Hey, my fact checker says they already have AI. Fannie Mae has AI video representatives already. So you're way behind the times, guys. You need a video representatives.
You get a video representative. Can you get one? Well, you got to shave first, Russ.
Okay.
Go shave, look younger, and then let's get a video avatar.
My wife likes me to not be shaven. The less face I have, the better looking I am, apparently.
That's why you have the face for radio,
yes,
too.
Yes, there you go.
Well, how much time we got?
We got plenty of time. You know, again, we get to do these things, and we get to pontificate a little bit on air.
Yeah, I got something.
Go.
So, kids graduate from college, right, in May, give or take.
And gosh, I
hope. Like you say, my son was one of them. So now they're in the job search business, right, trying to find a job. Got some data on jobs. Believe it or not, the job market for college kids isn't as strong as it's been in the past. And then I got a list of areas that tells you what they make, but it also tells you how many kids or how many graduates are looking for a job, like which ones have the highest rate where they can't find a job. So first one's anthropology, which pays about $70,000 a year, mid income, and that's the highest one. 9.4% of the people
can't find a job. Wow.
Anthropology, correct me if I'm wrong, or I don't want to sound stupid, but that's a study of animals and humans and all that, right?
I've never
anthropology. I think it's a study of okay, now check this out. Physics, not a hard, pretty hard degree to get, I would guess. The average pay is $100,000, so that's not a bad pay. That's the second one, 7.8%. Which you know, you think the sciences would be slam dunks. Now this one's going to throw you off. Computer engineering, $122,000 is a mid income range.
Seriously.
So that's the third one at 7.5%.
Well, think of twofold in that. Number one, how many people went into it? And number two, you said the magic words earlier, AI. You're literally having AI software writing programming software. At some point, you need one person controlling 27 AI programs versus 27 programmers.
Yeah. You have programs that write programs?
Yeah, they already do.
And the next one's AI related, commercial art and graphic design. That could be, you know, AI could jump in there. That's another one. So, anyways, I know people, a lot of kids, probably including my son, thinks, you know, once you get a college degree, the light's going to come on, the clouds are going to part, everyone's going to want to hire you.
Not so much.
All the girls want to marry you, all that stuff.
But go back to what you said in income, the $100,000, right?
Yeah.
For everybody, how do you, an hourly wage, if I said $50 an hour, what is that annually?
It's $150,000.
No, it's $100,000. So if you take the hourly wage, double it, and add three zeros, that's approximately, it's not 10 pennies.
Double it.
But so $50 an hour is somebody making $100,000 a year. That job, you said, which one made 100?
Physics made 100, and the computer engineering made 122.
Okay, so a physics major is approximately $50 an hour. How many times do you see some of these blue-collar workers that are skilled people, a auto mechanic who's a master technician,
especially the owner.
Forget the owner. What's a good master tech at a major company make, Russ? In your opinion?
A major company, I don't know, 40 to 100,000 in there.
Okay,
you know,
so
depending on where it is.
So, they could make $50 an hour. Is what you're saying?
Oh gosh, yes. Yeah.
So $50 an hour there versus $50 an hour here. That's one of the other things is you know, you go to college for some of these degrees and you go, okay, well, I just spent 4 years and $200,000.
You're saying a plumber electrician could get you there quicker.
Absolutely.
Yeah, without a college loan.
Right.
So interesting, on the bottom side with one's English language, there's only 4.9% looking, and the other one's history. Well, when I was in college, suppose if you're an English major and a history major, that was kind of like too bland, but apparently they're getting jobs now, so I don't know.
Well, here's my only question to that. Is there anything there that says how many people proportionally graduated with those degrees?
No, it doesn't give me
And that's,
data.
You know, again, I always want to try to figure out the data. So if you're saying that many people in the computer management and computer science can't find a job, but did they have 100 times more people go into that degree, that discipline versus that English major?
Yeah, and how many of these people might not be actively looking for a job? Because I know some of these kids graduating are going to, you know, 6 months, 9 months to travel, do things before they hit the market. So they might even be technically even pursuing it, you know?
Didn't have that choice. Russ, did you have a sabbatical? Did you have a summer off?
Didn't want one.
Just, you know, grab a backpack and just go hike through Italy and,
But
I had a
think
choice.
It's great if you can.
In college, they would let you go 6 months, you know, over study abroad, and I almost went. They covered the tuition and all that, but the extra spending money is what threw me off, and so I didn't go. And but you hindsight, I probably should have. Right?
You didn't hoe enough rows of cotton, is what you're saying.
I asked my parents. I was like, they recommend a certain allowance when you're over there, and they're like, we're not going to do that. So figure it out.
That's funny. You know, and again, here's the interesting thing. That data tells you there's certain things to get into and not get into. And some of it's just forward-looking. You just got to be able to be non-emotional, tactical enough to go, okay, I wonder what this means. That neighborhood in Florida that has a whole neighborhood of homes that haven't, there's literally nobody working on them. Wonder what that's going to do. Let me logically look at it. You're saying you've seen some of these nuclear stocks doubled in the last 6 months, right? What does that mean? I don't know, Russ. I just gave you two stats. What do those mean?
I have no idea.
I don't know either. But there's things that we have to look at and opportunities that you study and react tactically, not emotionally. So when that idiot news anchor on the air says, don't refinance your home, don't do anything, wait for the Federal Reserve to lower rates, hey, let's just make sure that that person actually is an economic major and they know that the Fed does or doesn't control mortgage rates because they're wrong. Same thing. How many times do you see things on the news that you just roll your eyes at, Tom, in
every
your
day?
You know, the thing about our business is there's a lot of gray areas. So even though someone made a weird announcement, like technically you can say, well, there's a percentage that probably could happen. So it's not as black and white. I mean, so a lot of people can play the fence you're talking about because it could happen. I mean, anything could happen, right? So, I can't believe this weather here is kind of awkward, right? What is it supposed to be today, 100 and something?
I'm like
809.
No, not today, right? Wasn't it like 101 or something?
No.
Well, at least it was a couple of days ago. Well, we got about a minute left, Yuma, so go out and enjoy 4th of July. Be careful and have fun with family, friends, and relax. And thank God you're born in this country or came to this country, one of the best countries in the world, to get ahead and do what you want to do as far as stake your own map.
Yep. We live in the greatest country on earth at the greatest time in history. And again, thank you to all the men and women who have served, are serving, their family members have served generations past. 4th of July, Independence Day coming up. Remember why we celebrate Independence Day. And if you have a few minutes free, hour and a half in the morning, Friday, 4th of July, come out to the Armed Forces Park. Cabiers de Yuma would love to see you. Watch a flag retirement ceremony. Watch the flag retire or flag raising ceremony. We hope to see you then. This is Money Talk, AM 560 KBLU.
Because the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away.
The opinions voiced in Money Talk with Tom Rush and George Davis Wealth are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine what may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial or tax advisor prior to investing. Guests on Money Talk are not affiliated with CWM LLC. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC and SEC Registered Investment Advisor.
This is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.